A reading from the Epistle of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Romans. Brethren, because you're weak human nature, I am using quite human language. Just as formerly you presented your bodily organs to uncleanness and lawlessness as slaves for doing of lawless deeds, present them now as slaves to justice, so that you may become holy. When you were slaves of sin, you were free from justice. But what fruit did you reap? Now you are ashamed of those things, and their goal is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit of this is that you may be holy, and your goal is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come, children, hear me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. Alleluia, alleluia. All you peoples, clap your hands, shout to God with cries of gladness. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but actually are prowling wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Do you ever pick grapes off thorn bushes or figs off thistles? No. The fact is, any healthy tree produces good fruit, but a rotten tree produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit any more than a rotten tree can bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. That is why you will recognize them by their fruit. It is not the man who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does my heavenly Father's will." Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin, if we can, with our tradition to pray a prayer of vocations. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Once again, good morning, everyone. I want to thank, first of all, my mentor, Father Z, who's working hard to get me to learn this solemn mass, and I've been working hard too, studying on my own, learning the Latin and whatnot. Again, I was raised when the church was not giving any attention to Latin. I actually took one course in college just because I thought it was cool to be a seminarian, okay? Not because I was required to do so. We didn't learn anything about the traditional Latin mass. So basically, in my late 60s, or my late 50s, now 60, I'm trying to learn this. Father's always saying, "It's easy." I always say, "Fine for you. You were fluent in Latin in your 20s. Anyways, we're working at it, and I appreciate Father's patience. So today we saw a lot of talk about fruit in today's reading, good fruit and bad fruit. You know, I carried with me today, put in this pocket so I could easily reach it, and so I am. So this is the famous combat rosary, right? And when I conceived the medals to put on this, I wanted to put the most powerful ones I could. So you have the pardon crucifix, you have the miraculous medal, but I also put on the Benedict medal. Now the Benedict medal, on the outside, you may notice that there are letters. Those letters signify Latin words. But the translation for those Latin words in English is, "Begone, Satan! Never tempt me with your vanities. What you offer me is evil. Drink the poison yourself. Drink the poison yourself. Ipse venena." I'm sure I'm not working that well. "Bibas. Ipse venena. Vivas." Or bibas. Drink the poison yourself. You know, I've been enamored with a phrase that's used lately in political conversations having to do with this or that and the other thing that I have to say that I've never heard before, but I'm hearing quite often now, and those in the legal field obviously heard this quite a bit. The phrase is, "the fruit of the poisonous tree." The fruit of the poisonous tree. So I went to Wikipedia and I looked it up. Here's the translation from there. "The fruit of the poisonous tree is a legal metaphor in the United States used to describe evidence that is obtained illegally. The logic of the terminology is that if the source of the tree, the evidence or evidence is itself tainted, then anything gained from the fruit from it is tainted as well." Okay? So the fruit of the poisonous tree. Here we have the gospel today in particular talking about good fruit and bad fruit, or good trees and bad trees, and fruit that's come from. So the fruit of the poisonous tree. You know, poisonous. "Drink the poison yourself, Satan," it says on the Benedict medal. Drink the poison yourself. The idea is this, is that when we are in sin, particularly mortal sin, but we can be sick in sin too. Prior to mortal sin, we can have many venial sins that can begin to slow us down, huh? Begin to lose heart for God, okay? And make us more prone to more serious sin. But when we're either sick or dead in sin, we've been poisoned. We've been poisoned. That I call it sometimes toxins that get into us, that make us spiritually sick or dead itself. So that what? So that we are no longer in company with God. We're out in that barren wasteland. We are no longer supermen, we talked about last week. Supernaturalized in the Holy Spirit. Grace is off of us or diminished. And so then what happens? We become more prone to the other kingdom, the kingdom of Satan. We become weaker to fend off his temptations. We become more prone to follow his will over God's will when we are sick or dead in our sins. St. Paul writes in Galatians 5, "You are running such a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" You are running such a good race, he says. But who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? "That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever they may be, will have to pay the penalty." And here it is. This is something that I think is usually tweeted nowadays, okay? St. Paul says this himself. "As for those agitators, I wish that they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." He's mad. Drink the poison yourself, Satan. Look what you're doing. You're taking them out of that state of grace and you're leaving them vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. So that what? So that now it becomes easy to listen to the messages of the world that stand against the Word of God. It becomes easy to convince ourselves, oh, this isn't bad and that's not too bad, and I can believe most of what the church teaches, but I don't have to believe this. So we become weak. We're sick. Maybe even dead. You see, this is why we are promoting the sacrament of confession. Because in that moment, when those words of consecration come on you, you have drank the serum, the antidote to the poison of Satan. You are now strong again in the Lord. St. Paul goes on. He talks, so I say, walk by the Spirit, he says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, he says. Listen, Monday night, 9 o'clock, I guess, a big event. Love the showmanship of our president, right? They're picking a Supreme Court justice. Those who are separated from God are having a panic attack. They're having a little child's temper tantrum because a Catholic might be... No, it's okay if you're a Catholic. As long as you're a bad one, is what they're saying. You see, I've said it before and I'll say it many, many times again. It's supernatural. This is the war. Go ahead and be Catholic, or, you know, a Catholic in name only, but certainly don't believe in this supernatural stuff, this power of God, this state of grace, this belief that God, yes, can answer prayers, can perform miracles. Don't believe in that. Turns out that Amy Barrett belongs to a group that does believe in that. They're a cult. They're called a cult. Why? Because they actually believe in the supernatural power of God. They actually believe that when they join their prayers together, they'll see miracles. We can't have any of that, he said in Satan's voice, right? It's what's going on right now. It's a panic attack. Why? Because they're afraid of the supernatural power of God, the Spirit of God. So I say to you, walk by the Spirit. Oh, if you do that, then what? You might have morals. You might have virtues. You might have principles. You might have ethics. You might have truth. If you walk in the Spirit, you might know right from wrong if you walk in God's way. The Creator, who is ultimate truth. We can't have any of that. Because here, this is what we want. We want to be free from God, from truth, from the Spirit. So that we can live out the acts, we can be free to live out the acts of the flesh, which St. Paul talks about here. He says they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Wow. That seems what people want to legislate for. I warn you, as I did before, St. Paul says, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, I believe, yes, he's talking about our ultimate home in heaven. But I believe there's a kingdom of God that we need to fight for, that we need to have resolved to want to bring here. This is a kingdom where we live for one another. The fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And this is the good fruit, St. Paul says, that you'll have. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such as these, there is no law, he says. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Here's my bit of advice, especially for married couples. If you're not in a state of grace, don't have a debate with each other, because it's not going to go well. Okay, in all likelihood, a lot of this is going to emerge because you aren't walking with the Spirit any longer. Okay? Father Z's detractors, Bishop Marlino's detractors, my detractors, how are they mostly identified? Well, they count themselves as Catholics, but they made up their own idea what that means. Contraception's great, abortion's wonderful. I think it's because of your child, not because of my message, right? Just kidding. It's called PTSD for us priests. Whenever you're giving a sermon and someone stands up and walks out, you go, whoa! No, actually, I'm long since used to my detractors, all right? And unfortunately, and God love them and I pray for them, and Father Z's, Bishop Marlino's, but one thread that ties them all together is they're not in the Spirit of God. Okay? They either have made up their own type of Catholicism, which is literally a sin against the Holy Spirit. It's identified in the Catechism as, therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven me, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. There are no limits to the mercy of God, but anyone who deliberately refuses to accept the mercy by repenting rejects the forgiveness of his sins and the salvation offered by the Holy Spirit. Such hardness of heart can lead to final impenitence and eternal loss. But what is it saying in essence? It's saying, I don't need forgiveness. Because even though I can see that I am believing against what divine revelation, sacred scripture, sacred tradition has revealed to me, even though I see what that teaches, I believe this over here, and I don't need forgiveness for that. I don't need forgiveness for my lifestyle, even though the church teaches that lifestyle is sinful, whatever that may be. I don't need forgiveness for that. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit. You know what that means is, it's a sin against the supernatural. It's a sin against, okay, the belief in the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you've reduced this just to some kind of job description, some kind of club membership dues that you pay. It has nothing to do with the supernatural, because if it did, you would take this very seriously. See, when you boil it all down, let's get back to the judge being picked tomorrow night. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of the supernatural. They're afraid of a real, literal power of God. Go ahead and have your club. Go ahead and have your differences of opinion within that club. You know, some Catholics are strong and some are weak. No, you're a Catholic or you're not. You can't make this stuff up. Okay? And so we don't want to get angry. I always say to people, you know, we're not to win the argument, we're to win souls. Our concern is for souls. Okay, so if someone's off, is wayward, okay, we got to do something about that. Not try to pump ourselves up because we know better than them. All right? I don't know what kind of punishment's going to bring that one. I'm concerned more about my rep. I'm concerned more about me than whether you're making a fast track to hell. I could care less about you. You know, as long as I won the argument. You see, my brothers and sisters, this is about the supernatural, either we believe in it or not, or we're using the religion to pump ourselves up, to make us look good among others. Okay? And if we believe in the supernatural, we are walking in the Spirit. And there should be evidence of that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. It should be there in spades. If we believe in the supernatural, it should flow. And if we don't, then we can see why discord and angriness and drunkenness and dissensions and ambition are evident. It's a bad trait. It's a bad Catholic. It's a wrong-headed Catholic, right? Drink the poison yourself, Satan. Stop poisoning us. And my brothers and sisters, walk in the Spirit. Be part of the solution, not the problem. Be part of the antidote, not the poison. Believe in the supernatural. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.